to the Healing Grief Podcast with Catherine Churchill, and regularly joined by a variety of different guests, all helping you travel through your journey of grief.
Hi everyone, it's Catherine Churchill, and today I want to welcome Patricia from Neshama Journey on Instagram. And Patricia is going to share the story about her mother's passing to cancer 7 months ago with us, in the hopes it will help others going through grief right now. So thank you for joining me today, Patricia, and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we could have actually recorded what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, but so let's maybe just start with you sharing your story about your mother's passing.
Yeah, so I'm glad to share my story because I know we met on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I told you earlier, one of the reasons I started this Instagram page is because I thought that sharing your story, when you're sharing with authenticity, it's really healing for oneself and for others too. So it's really sharing, not for recognition or gratification, but sharing to help others and to help myself too, because I found it extremely healing to talk to other people and to connect to other people on Instagram. So the idea behind this page really started when my mother was still in the hospital. And back in October 31st, the doctor had told me that there was nothing left that they could do for her because she was too weak. The cancer had spread in her liver. She had pancreatic cancer, but the problem was that for the past 3 months, she had, you know, been in and out of the hospital, and she was too weak for any kind of surgery or chemo. So, you know, I was alone in the hospital with my mom, and he just told me, you have to call your family. I think you have to prepare yourself because we don't know if it's a matter of days or weeks, but there's nothing we can do. The only thing we can do now for her is to help her ease her pain. And maybe you can take this time to prepare yourself. So there's nothing that can prepare you to lose someone, even though it was really a blessing looking back that we were able to spend those 3 weeks with her. She passed on November 22nd. Really nothing prepare you. And I remember I spent all this time in the hospital. I was sleeping there with her. But she was not always, you know, conscious. She would sleep a lot. And at night, I would start already, like, Googling about grief and looking for podcasts, looking for books about mother loss, looking for accounts on Instagram that talk about grief. And, you know, I was thinking, like, how am I going to do now when I'm back to New York and I don't have my mom with who I speak every day? With who am I going to connect? I really need to speak about it with people that, you know this kind of loss. So I created a page called Motherless Daughters NYC. And actually, when I came back to New York, I wasn't even able to post anything on Instagram, on my personal Instagram, on that account. Although I wanted to share my grief and I wanted to feel supported, it was maybe too early to talk about my story. So for the first month, I would only see very, very close friends in, like, and a very intimate circle, and also a few friends who had lost a parent that, you know, they were understanding what I was going through. And it's only during COVID that maybe I was more isolated. Like, I was really a lot at home, but in COVID, there was this sense of isolation. And I really felt the need to connect to other bereaved, you know, daughters, or even just the grief community at large. And I joined the online grief group on Facebook from David Kessler. And it really made me realize that I wanted to share my story. I wanted to connect with other people. And I changed the name of that Instagram page I had created 5 months before. And it was not Motherless Daughter NYC anymore. It was Neshama Journey. And Neshama means soul in Hebrew. And for me, it was really about how am I connecting to other people grieving, and how am I connecting to my soul now that my mother passed, and how am I connecting to her soul now that she's in the afterlife? And these were all questions that I obviously had after she passed, because although I'm Jewish, I'm not very religious or very observant, but I still wanted to find some faith again and understand that I would still be able to connect to her soul, even though she wasn't here physically.
Wow. So basically, I mean, you obviously through your Instagram account and connecting to others and, you know, all the podcasts you've done, you do help others grieving to find meaning within their loss. So maybe if you could explain a little bit to those who are unable to find that meaning, or maybe they're in the very early stages of grief.
So for me, the meaning was really to be able to share my story and her story and keep her memory alive. And although I'm only 7 months into the grieving process, recently I had some friends who lost their parents during COVID, not because of COVID specifically, but that are very, you know, new in, you know, the grief process. And I was able to help them because I knew how intense the pain was at the beginning. And I really wanted to share what I had learned in those 7 months, and also all the resources that I used, the book, the podcast that I was using to help me grieve. And for me, it was really about helping even one person, or one person at a time. And I wanted other people definitely to find meaning in, you know, saying the name of the deceased and also sharing their story, keeping their memory alive. And more than this, I felt the need to talk about grief in a way that we could normalize grief, the same way that mental health and depression started to, you know, be normalized around maybe a decade ago. Because before that, no one would talk about mental health. And now it's, I mean, I'm not going to say it's totally normal, but it's not as taboo as it used to be. But grief still is very taboo in society. And we're in a moment now where we've lost so many lives during COVID, and the whole world is mourning, you know, their losses and the way, you know, the world was before. So I thought that grief was really a subject that needed to be more talked about and just normalized. So in many of my podcasts and in many of my posts, I also talk about ways to help someone going through loss, how to support the person, what to say, what not to say. And that was really important for me, not only to start the conversation about grief, but also through my own experience, what has helped me during all those months and what wasn't helpful at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's completely true. I feel like people just don't want to talk about grief. Yeah. And I guess what about, you know, do you incorporate any sort of spiritual practices within finding that meaning as well?
Yeah, I do. I've started meditating 2 years ago when my mother was sick. This is really something that I started because I was getting very, very anxious. I was scared to lose her. It was keeping me up at night. I had all those fears about, you know, her cancer, about her treatments. What if it's not going to work? What if she, you know, loses the battle to cancer? So I started meditating, and that definitely helped me a lot through the whole process, but especially since she passed. And I do a lot of gratitude work also. And this really takes a conscious effort to do, because many times I feel low, I feel depressed, I feel like my mother is missing out on something. I feel like I need to reach out to her. And it takes a conscious effort to think about all the memories we shared and be grateful about this. And that was something that I consciously realized the day of my birthday, because my mother passed on November 22nd. My birthday was on January 21st. So only 2 months after her passing. And I was like, how am I going to celebrate my birthday? It's impossible. It's too soon. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to celebrate this year. I'm too sad. I'm too depressed. And suddenly I realized that not only I was here celebrating my birthday because of her. I mean, if she hadn't given birth to me, I wouldn't be here today. And that I was lucky also that I had spent 37 years with her and make the day not only about me, but about her. I mean, birthdays, like you celebrate your birth, and who gave me birth was her. So I turned the day into a celebration of the life she gave me. And it was more of a tribute to her. And I organized a fundraiser on Facebook and on Instagram for pancreatic cancer. And my mother used to like love going out and get dressed. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, get dressed and go out with my husband for dinner. And I'll do this, you know, in memory of my mom. And others, so that is really part of my gratitude practice that I try to do every day in the morning and also at night. And, you know, little things like when you see someone in their last days, and I had seen my stepfather before my mom, you realize how small things like getting out of your bed becomes so hard. So now anything I do during the day, I'm like, oh, I'm grateful I can do this, and I'm grateful I can do that, and I'm grateful that I'm able to speak to that person, to run this errand. So just incorporate gratitude every day. It's something that helped me found meaning, and also, you know, realize that life is a gift, you know, and it's only when you're confronted to death that you give so much meaning to life. So that was very important to me. And other spiritual practices, I've turned to Kabbalah a lot because it is, you know, it is linked to Judaism, although there are more spiritual tools than, you know, religious tools. And yeah, I pray at night and I talk to my mom and try to connect with her and look at signs, and definitely believe that there is a connection and there is something bigger than us. And there is definitely a way, you know, to feel the presence.
Mm-hmm. Do you receive signs from?
Yeah, okay. I do.
And do you want to share any of those?
Yeah, at the very beginning, I got signs in light. So numbers, first it was number. The 222 was something extremely strong, because before she passed, I dreamt that I woke up at 3 a.m. and the nurse, and I was looking for my mom, and the nurse told me, no, but she already passed. She passed at 2:22 a.m. And I'm like, no, it's impossible. We just went to bed. She was alive. And then I woke up, but there was something about the 222 and the 3 that was very strong. And I was sure for like weeks that my mother would pass at 2:22 a.m., but actually she ended up passing on November 22nd. So it's kind of a 222. So 222.
Yeah, definitely. Not kind of.
No, I know. So 222 was popping up on my cell phone, on many things. And then the 3 started to appear as well. But then I got signs in light. One day I was, you know, everyone was sleeping at home. I didn't want to wake up my husband. I was crying. I went to my living room and all of a sudden the light started pulsing, but like pulsing, like, you know, like a heartbeat. And only one light in the living room was pulsing. And I thought that was so weird. And the next day the handyman came to like change some lights at home. And I'm like, check this one in the living room. Yesterday it wasn't working. It was pulsing. And he's like, no, it's totally working. And actually that story was 6 months ago and we've never changed that light. So that light only pulsed that night. So that was definitely a sign. And very recently, I moved into a new house 6 weeks ago. And my mom used to paint a lot. And she had so much art material. And when I was cleaning up her house, I brought a lot of things to New York, like all her markers and pencil and coloring book. But I wasn't able to bring back the paint and I wasn't able to bring back all the glitter. So I gave glitter to many of my friends. And then we used a lot of little bottles of glitter to sprinkle on her grave. And 6 weeks ago when we moved here, my husband, like the house was empty, but my husband started cleaning shelves in the kitchen and all of a sudden he found two little bottles of glitter, one gold and one blue.
Wow.
That's crazy. Like how can you find, you know, bottles of glitter in an empty house? And glitter is my mom. I mean, it's totally her, but glitter is in all her artworks. We sprinkle glitter in her grave. She loved it. She was very sparkly, very shiny. And that for me was definitely a sign. And also I found a lot of signs in randomly heart-shaped things. It can be a leaf, it can be a drop. We see a lot of heart-shaped thing around us.
A lot of people I talk to about signs, they receive hearts, just heart shapes around, yeah. And also, thank you for sharing that. But yeah, also, I was actually talking to somebody yesterday, and just quickly, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, I was talking to somebody about how people are there very early on in someone's grief, and then they, you know, they sort of fade away. And one thing I do love about your Instagram as well is that you help people not necessarily grieving, but also people that maybe are supporting somebody who is in grief. So do you have any quick advice for somebody that's in that situation? Because this person that I was talking to was quite upset yesterday about just, you know, people sort of fading away after the initial, you know, the initial death.
Yeah, this is something I hear every day from the people I connect on Instagram and on Facebook, how after a week or sometimes a month, friends just stop checking in and only whoever went through loss keep on checking in because they know how hard it is in the following month, not just the first week. So what I've been, you know, saying all the time in my podcast and also in my posts is like, please, if you have someone in your circle of friends who is going through loss, just keep this person, you know, in your heart and in your mind. Check on them, send a little emoji, send a little message. It's, you know, it's not true that grief has a timeline. It's not because a week passed or a month passed or a year passed that we're not grieving. Like, it's really important to understand that the pain and the suffering might not be a lifelong experience, but grief is. So if you have someone around you that is going through loss right now, just check on them and help in concrete ways. So when I say concrete ways, it's not only saying like, oh, if you need help, call me. No, ask, you know, really ask, what can I do for you? Can I do this? You know, offer concrete help, because of course you do appreciate when someone tells you, call me anytime. If I can help you, let me know. But sometimes offering, you know, a concrete help, like cooking food or, you know, going to the grocery or picking up kids at school, can be much more helpful than putting the person in a situation where I need to reach out for help.
And it's definitely not easy for a grieving person to reach out or necessarily even know what they need. as well. Yeah. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with my listeners today before we go?
Yeah. This is also, you know, something related to reaching out and checking out. Don't be afraid to ask about the grief or the loss or the loved one that passed. You know, people often think that if you talk about the subject, it's going to open a wound. But the thing is, like, the wound is here already, and it's not going to make me feel more sad or more in pain just because, you know, you ask about it. It's the opposite. Every time, you know, you say the person's name, every time you're able to share a memory, to share a story, it's actually healing. So for someone who had never been through this, it can be very intimidating to talk about it. But if I could give one advice for the people around supporting a bereaved, it's to not be afraid to ask, not be afraid to really ask, like, how are you? How are you feeling? How is it without your mom? How was the anniversary of her death? What did you do? Just don't be afraid to ask questions. I know that someone's grieving will be more than happy, you know, to talk about it if, you know, you actually give the person the opportunity to open up.
That's very true. I think a lot of people, you know, they maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable asking the grieving person, but I do find personally when I ask a friend, you know, what can I, you know, rather than what can I do for you, but something specific or, you know, what did you do on the anniversary? Definitely the person will open up mostly. Yeah. It's so important to support grieving people.
To support and to normalize it, to just, you know, include it in a conversation. I know it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but the more we'll be able to talk about it, you know, the less vulnerable and authentic people will be able to be with mm-hmm. their grief. Yeah. And that's very important. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm not shy about my grief, but I know a lot of people sometimes try to either hide it or not talk about it because they don't want to bother other people. They don't want to bring their sadness. They don't want to make the other person uncomfortable. And that's why I think it's so important that we all as a society start, you know, accepting grief and bereavement and supporting people going through loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast again. Yeah. And hopefully I can have you back on soon and we can talk about it some more. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and thanks to all my listeners.